who in here in the future, not now, okay, because y'all know y'all too young, but in the future, you say, man, I want a wife, I want a husband, I want somebody to love me. Can I get some hands? Nobody want to be married. Nobody wants to be married. Nobody wants love. Listen, nobody wants love. Listen, nobody wants love. All right, listen to me. How about this? Let me generalize the question. How many of you in the room wants to be loved? You say, bro, I want to be loved. That's everybody in this room, right? If you say, I don't want to be loved, then we need to talk and we'll pray because there's something going on there. Because everybody in this room, we were created for love. Like we were talking about earlier when we were during worship, we were creative. Everybody say this with me. I am created for love. Say it again. Say, I am created for love. Everybody didn't say it. Say, I am created for love. See, everybody in this room, we desire to be loved. Can I tell you something? That Jesus wants the same thing. What if I told you that Jesus wants to be loved? That Jesus loves people freely, everybody in this room. He loves us freely and gives his love for free. But yet he wants to be loved in return. How many of you would say you got that one friend that just want to use you? Anybody have one of those friends that just want to use you? You'd be like, dang, only time you talk to me when you want a pencil. Like, dang. Or anytime you want to talk to me is when you borrow a piece of paper. Like, dang, bruh, God, that was me. Bro, I was asking mad people for paper and pencil and never had none, boy. Jesus. But check this out. See, we all want to know someone cares about us. We all want someone to at least think about us. I love when friends text or call me. This is me personally. I love when friends text or call me out of nowhere just to check up on me. See, I love when people say that they love me or tell me how special I am to them without me doing anything for them, right? Because it makes me feel special. I'd be like, oh, dang, they really love me. What if I told you Jesus wants to feel the same thing? Jesus wants to feel loved. Okay, everybody say, Jesus wants to be loved. See, we're starting a new sermon series. Everybody say sermon series called Lovers. Everybody say Lovers. Everybody say Lovers. Everybody in the room, say Lovers. See, everybody in this room, we are called to be lovers. Everybody in this room, we are called to be lovers. See, we are all created to be in love with Jesus. See, God's original, everybody listen up. God's original plan for humanity was to have a deep relationship with us, full of love. We were created to receive God's cry of, I love you. And our response to his cry is, God, I love you too. See, this is why we're here. See, we are here. This is why we were created to be in love with Jesus. Everybody say, I was created to be in love with Jesus. Say it again. I was created to be in love with Jesus. See, listen to this. We were created to be in love with Jesus and nothing else. But something happened. See, I was created to be loved, but yet I don't feel loved. I was created to be wrapped up in the arms of the one who is love, but yet I don't feel loved. Something had to happen. Something is going on when I can wake up in the morning and I'm dealing with depression. I feel like I'm not worth a dick. I feel like I'm not worth a nickel. I feel like I'm nothing. I feel like I'm dirt. There's something that had to happen for me to feel this way. Everybody says, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Bro, Marcellus is on your laptop. Jesus loves you. But I don't feel that way. What happened? The answer is sin. Everybody say sin. See, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, it's on the screen, look at it. It said, for the wages of sin is death. Everybody say that with me. Say, the wages of sin is death. Say it again, everybody. The wages of sin is death. Check this out. See, death is separation from God. Everybody say that when we say death is separation from God. See, so you have to imagine this for a second. We were created to be wrapped up in the arms of God, but because of our own decisions, because of our own decision that we made and our own mistakes, what happens is we turned away from God, which results in sin. Now you have to ask, I want to imagine this. How did God feel? How does God feel? The one who created us to be wrapped up in his arms. The one who created us to love us and to be in love with him. The one who created us for love. And now we turn and we give our loves to others. We give our love to others. How does God feel? How does God feel whenever we go and we watch that thing that we know that's not right? How does God feel when we talk back to our parents? How does God feel when we disrespect our teachers? How does God feel? How does he feel? How does he feel? How does he feel? How does he feel? You know, how does God feel? Because here's the thing. Many of us, anybody here been heartbroken before? You was in love and a joker done dished you? Listen, 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 listen. Let me tell you. Do I got a story? Yes, I do. I do got a story. Yep, my sister reminded me. I do got a story. Listen, I was in high school. Any seniors in here? Any upperclassmen? Listen, I was in high school. Check me out. I was in high school, and let me tell you something. I had a little girlfriend, okay? I had a little girlfriend, and I was a senior in high school. You know, we're about to graduate, about to get in college or whatnot. You're like, bro, this about to be for life. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? And then, come to find out, she breaks up with me. I said, oh, Jesus! But that's why God gave me another woman back there. Hey, girl, ha! Yes. Snapped on that one, boy. Okay, but check this out. Check this out. Check this out. My heart was crushed, yo. I went through this, like, deep depression. I was, like, so depressed. I was crying all the time. I mean, it was bad. Okay, I was in love. All right, but check this out. How does God feel when we say, God, I'm done with this. I'm done with you. I'm going to do what I want. God, I don't want to be in love anymore. Anicia, come on, sis. How does God feel? How does God feel? See, when sin came, we all turned from the loving arms of God. And now our heart's cry is no longer, Jesus, I love you. But now this I love you longing has gone to other things. Now our hearts cry out, I love you to others, but this love always belonged to Jesus. Imagine how Jesus feels right now. When I wake up in the morning and I don't even think about him. The only time I think about Jesus is when I come to church or when my parents talk about him. That's the only time I think about him. How many of you, when you get married or when you get your boo thing or whatever, how many of you want them to think about you? You know? Like, I want you to think about me. I want to be important to you. You know what I'm saying? How much does Jesus want to feel the same thing? Jesus wants to feel the same thing. Jesus wants our love. See, the one who he loves so much is turning from him and giving their love and affection to others. See, this is me and you. Everyone in this room, I don't care who you are, from me to every leader to every student, whoever you are in this room, we are guilty of this. We have or even now loved things more than him, and his heart aches because we turn to things that will never satisfy, and we were always supposed to be completely satisfied in his love. Everybody say this, say, Jesus wants our love. Everybody in the room, say, Jesus wants our love. I want everybody yelling at me, say, Jesus wants our love. Come on, y'all. Come on. Y'all got to work with me, okay? See, the question is, what kind of love does Jesus want? Because I don't know about you. I'm getting married to that woman up there in about 6 months, five months and some change, right? And so here's the thing. When I get married, right, I don't want my wife, which I know she ain't. I love you, girl. Let me put it like this. I know she wouldn't want me coming up there with a bunch of side pieces. Okay, can we be real? I know she wouldn't want me coming up there with any other lovers I got in the background. You know what I'm saying? How much does Jesus want to feel the same thing? What if I told you that the end of all time, at the end of everything, when the world comes to an end, the end of the age, when everything comes to an end, there's going to be a wedding. At the end of everything, there's going to be a wedding. And it's going to be between Jesus and the church. It's going to be between Jesus and you and me. The question is, when I stand before him, like a bride stands before her groom, when I stand before him, will I have other lovers straggling behind? See, Jesus wants our undivided, wholehearted first love. Everybody say that with me. Say, Jesus wants our undivided, wholehearted first love. See, when something is divided, it's broken into pieces, right? It's scattered about when something is divided, okay? And so what happens is everyone in this room, we have love, but the question is we give it to other things. And matter of fact, when I come to church on Sunday, I might say, Jesus, I love you. Like we were saying earlier, you might sing that all day long, but that's only a piece of the love that you give to him. And the rest of your love is with that person in the relationship that you're with. Or it might be in the things that you watch. Or it might be in so many other things. Does Jesus have undivided, wholehearted first love? See, is our hearts divided up between things? Is our love separated among others? Or is it fully given to him? Are our hearts fully his? See, Jesus says this in Matthew 22, 37 through 38. I want y'all to just listen to me, okay? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. See, why is this verse is so profound? This verse is so big. The question is why? See, this guy asks Jesus. He says, Jesus, what's the best commandment? What's the best commandment? And Jesus, can you throw that verse back up there? And Jesus says this. He says the commandment, you must love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So above all other things, this is what God wants from you. Above everything else, this is what God wants, your love. And not just a piece of your love, but watch this, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your heart. Jesus wants undivided, wholehearted, first love. See, this is God's longing for you to love him with your everything and more than anything else. But the question is, how do I love him with my everything? Let me tell you something. I struggle even now. Everybody say, Pastor Selly, be struggling. Okay? My struggle even now is to give Jesus my everything. I struggle with it. So if I know I struggle, I know everybody in this room struggle with it, okay? Listen to me. I struggle with it. Every day I wake up, I have to make the decision, Jesus, I give you everything. I give you everything, Jesus. And the question is, how do I get to the place of giving him everything? How do I get to the place of loving him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and all of my mind? How do I get to that place? See, watch this. In order to be a radical lover of Jesus, you have to realize that you are radically loved by him. In order to become a radical lover of Jesus, you have to realize that you are radically loved by him. What if I told you that Jesus is so crazy in love with you? And when Jesus gets angry, when we talk about the wrath of God, see, Jesus gets angry at the things that takes our love away from him. So the question is, what has your love? What has your love? What has your love? See, Jesus' love for you is what sparks the flame of first love for him. See, in order to make God our first love and give him undivided, wholehearted love, we must realize that we are his first love and he gives us undivided and wholehearted love. What if I told you that Jesus gives you all of his heart? And he says, I'm not going to hold back one piece of my heart. I give you everything. What if Jesus said that? Which he is saying that I give you everything, not a piece of my heart, not a little bit, but everything that I have is yours. See, God's love for you is incredible. See, he didn't just say it, he proved it. And Romans 5:8 says this, but God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to imagine this for a second. I want you to imagine this. That God has been telling throughout the generations, I love you. You come to church all the time. We hear Jesus loves you all the time. And that's one thing. But it's different when you say, yo, I'm going to show you that I love you. It's different when you say, yo, I'm going to prove that I love you. And the way Jesus proved that he loved us, he didn't buy us flowers. He didn't get a box of chocolates. You know, that's how we do it. You know what I'm saying? Listen. He was stripped naked. He was tied to a whipping post. And they took this whip with bones at the end of it. Yeah, Kenzie. Oh, yeah, you can come on up. Yeah. He took a whip with bones and they slashed it across his back. Oh, I'm about to start crying. They took a whip and they slashed into his body and ripped it out. He got up. He put a cross on his back, on his open, broken back. And he carried this cross. And they nailed his hands and nailed his feet to a wooden board called a cross. Can barely catch his breath because he's choking on blood. And all he can think about is your face. All he can think about is how much he loves you and how worthy you are of his love. That's all that's on his mind. That's all that's on his mind. Full of love for you. Jesus didn't buy flowers. He was nailed to a cross. God knew that there was something that had to be done to bring his babies back into his arms. He knew that a price had to be paid for our sins and mistakes. He knew that there was nothing that we could do. We tried sacrificing animals, but that was never enough. So here we are, everyone in this room, guilty. Everyone in this room, guilty. Guilty of every mistake. I was guilty. Get this. If I would have died before I met Jesus, I would have been condemned to hell forever. But Jesus. We're all guilty. Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned. Everyone in this room, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter who your parents are, no matter who your grandparents are, we are all guilty of sin. And what does sin bring about? What did we read earlier? Death. Separation from God. That we were born separated from the arms that we were created to be in. We were born separated from the love that we were created to receive. And God knew this. God wanted to bring us back home with him and restore the love in which he had with each. Well, let me read it again. God wanted to bring us back home with him and restore the love in which we had with each other, me and him. And he knew that he wanted to bring us back home. So he said, Jesus, Jesus, I need you to go. Jesus, I need you to take Marcellus's place. He doesn't know how much I love him. He doesn't know the things that how much I care for him. He doesn't know. Jesus, you need to go take his place. Jesus, I need you to go take, I need you to go take my daughter's place, because she doesn't know her identity. She doesn't know her identity, so she gives up herself time and time and time and time again. Jesus, my son, he watches these things looking for love in all the wrong places. Jesus, I need you to go take his place. Jesus said, yes, Lord. Yes, Father. I'll go. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Who's the world? Me and you. Me and you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God was so full of love, he sent his own son to pay the price to bring us back to first love. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Just so we can get to heaven? Yes. But that's not even the fullness of it. Jesus went to the cross to bring us back to the heart cry of, oh, Jesus, I love you above everything else. Oh, God, I love you more than anything else in this world. That's why Jesus went to the cross. So here's the thing. If I'm not loving Jesus with my everything, then I'm discounting what Jesus paid for. Jesus paid this high price just to hear you say, I love you from your heart. Think about that. Jesus went to the cross just to hear you say, I love you, Jesus. That's amazing. That's mind-blowing. If nowadays they don't love me, man, bump you. But Jesus went and paid the price for you. Jesus wants to be loved. The question is, will you be the one to give it to him? Because he gives it to you freely. Even now, he loves you so much. And so there's a story in the Bible of this woman who was known for her sin. Imagine being famous in Fayetteville because of all of your failures. It's crazy, right? Imagine everyone knows you because of all the mistakes that you made. That's this woman we're getting ready to talk about. This woman was so known that everyone in the city knew her because of every one of her failures. And here she is in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 48. I'm going to read it all the way through, and I just want you to follow along, okay? Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 48. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. A Pharisee is like this religious person. He knows all about the Bible, but he doesn't know Jesus. Look at this. So Jesus went to his home and sat to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard that he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, If this man were a prophet, so now he's thinking to himself, if this man was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Oh my God, Jesus read his mind. Jesus reads your mind, guys, just to say. Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon said. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces of silver to the other. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose is going to love him more than that? Let me read that again. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one from whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet. But she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss. Because what they do in Jesus and in Jewish culture, they would kiss him on the forehead, the host would. But from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Here's this woman who heard Jesus was nearby and a groan arise from her heart. There was a desperation within her to get to Jesus, and there was nothing that could keep her back from what her heart was crying out for. She didn't care about her reputation, what others thought about her, what was going on, what they were going to say about her when she comes into the building. She was not stopping until the cry within her heart was fulfilled. What was this desire that she had? That it was so great that she busts in someone else's houses as a known failure. Think about it. She's a failure. Mess up. Screw up. And she says, I don't care what anybody has to say. I don't care what anybody else thinks about me. I'm busting in this guy's house because Jesus is there. And I want one thing. I want to show him how much I love him. I want to show him how much I care about him. I want to show him what I think about him. I'm going to give him everything. Her desire was to give her love and devotion to Jesus. It was bold for, in this time, it was bold for a woman with a sinful reputation to come into a house of a Pharisee. But she was willing to do anything to express her love for Jesus. The question is, will we? Is there anything that you would do to say, Jesus, I love you? Is there anything that you would do? Would you go to the extent of looking crazy just to say, Jesus, I love you? What's the extent that we would go to say, Jesus, I love you? In verse 44 and 46 says this. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. See, in Jewish customs, the common courtesy from a host to a guest was washing the feet and kiss for a greeting and anointing with the head of oil. Simon gave Jesus none of these. So here's Simon, he didn't see the value in Jesus. But here comes this woman, a known failure, a known screw up, comes before Jesus knowing that she doesn't have a bowl with water, but she has her tears. She knows she doesn't have a towel, but she has her hair. She knows she doesn't have olive oil, but she has what she has of value, and she gave it all to Jesus. See, most of the jars of oil in these days were shaped in such a way that they had to be broken to open it. This means that there was nothing left behind. It was all left at the feet of Jesus. Her heart's cry was, Jesus, here's all of my love and I hold nothing back. Is that our heart's cry this morning? What if we got this in our bones, guys? What if we came in on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night and we say, Jesus, I'm going to pour out of all my oil on you. I'm not holding anything back. I'm going to bust open this jar. I'm going to pour it out on your feet. I'm going to give everything that I have, everything that I have, everything that I have. Why? Because I was created to be a lover. I was created to be a lover, and I'm going to love you, Jesus, with everything that I have. But the question is how? How, why, what motivated her to come in and break this box over Jesus? What arose in her to come into a room and do this lavish love? The woman pouring out her love on Jesus was not something she decided to do just because. All of this was a response of realizing how much she's been forgiven. Verse 47 says this. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown much love. See, when you know how much you've been forgiven, when you know how much you've hurt Jesus' heart with all your mistakes and he freely forgives you, oh, you can't help but love him. You can't help but love him. Everybody say this with me. Everybody say, we are called to be lovers because he is a lover first. I want everybody to stay in the room. Everybody in the room. All the leaders too. I want to say, we are called to be lovers because he was a lover first. See, everyone in this room, you have to understand that Jesus went to paid a high price for you. That he went to the whipping post thinking about the pain in your body right now. The sickness in your body right now. He went to the whipping post thinking about your heart being broken time and time again, about parents walking out on you, about people speaking bad things over you. He has went to the whipping post so that you could be made whole. Then he goes to the cross and he's nailed to it. And he cries out with the blood in his lungs. He cries out, "It is finished." What's finished? The pathway for sons and daughters to come home. It's done. It's finished. And so here's Jesus this morning. I want to read this really quick. 1 John 4:10 says this. It says this. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice. Everybody say to take away. Everybody in the room say to take away our sins. See, Jesus went to the cross to take away your sins, to take away the thing that separates you from God so that you could be one with him. You can be one with God in this room. You can be one with him. You can be one with him. I want everybody to say this. I am created to be a lover. I am called to be a lover. So I want everybody to stand up in the room. Everybody stand up. Stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. If you say, Marcellus, everybody close your eyes, close your eyes. Now, this is a serious moment. I just broke down to you the extent that Jesus came, that Jesus went just to hear you say, Jesus, I love you. The extent that he went through just to hear you say, I love you. Hey, all my leaders in the room, can we begin to start praying in the spirit for me real quick? And so if Jesus went to an extent of giving up his life so that you could have life, so you don't battle with depression anymore, so that you don't battle with insecurities anymore, Jesus went to an extent to prove his love to you. Not just say it, but prove it. So first thing I want to ask, does Jesus have your heart? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If you say, Marcellus, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give my everything to him. If that's you, on the count of three, I just want you to raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. There's nobody looking but me. Nobody looking but me. Nobody looking. Lift him up high. Lift him up high. Lift him up high. There's no shame in here. Jesus was lifted up high on a cross naked for you. And we can't lift our arms up 2 feet. Lift him up high. Lift him up high. Lift him up high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Awesome. I want all of us to pray this prayer. I want everybody, and you're talking to Jesus right now. I want you to say, Jesus, here I am. I believe that you went to the cross and you died for me. You took my place so that I could have life. So Jesus, thank you for taking my place. Thank you for going to the whipping post so my heart could be made whole. Thank you for giving me a new life. So right here, right now, I give you my heart. I give you my love. It's all yours. Have my life. It's in Jesus' name. All right, everybody with your eyes closed, I just want to ask something else. If you say, Marcellus, I want to return to first love. I want to return to first love. I want to live the life that Jesus created for me. I want to have undivided, wholehearted love for Jesus. I don't want to hold anything back. I want to be like that woman who broke out everything, who poured out everything on his feet. If that's you, I want you to raise both hands right now, both hands as a sign of surrender to Jesus right now. Both hands. You say, I want to return to first love, undivided love, undivided love, undivided love. I want all of us to pray this together, okay? I want you to say, Jesus, thank you for your great love for me. Everybody in the room, I want us to say it. Say, Jesus, thank you for this great love you have for me. And Holy Spirit, I ask you right now, touch my heart. Say it again. Say, touch my heart.